It has a highly fluctuating field. The etheric, as we call it, fluctuates or vibrates so rapidly that it is difficult to discern the movement. In much the same way, one can have an electric lamp lighted in one's house, and although the current fluctuates 50 or 60 times a second, one cannot perceive this. Yet in some country districts, or perhaps aboard ship, the fluctuations are so slow that the eye can detect the flickerings. If a person goes too close to another one, there will often be a sensation of goose flesh. Many people, most people, are fully aware of the close proximity of another person. Try it on a friend. Stand behind your friend and hold one finger close to the nape of his neck and then touch him lightly. You will often not be able to distinguish between a closeness and a touch. That is because the etheric is also susceptible to 14 touch. This etheric is the magnetic field which surrounds the human body, figure 3. It is the fauna of the aura, the nucleus of the aura, as one might say. In some people the etheric covering extends for about an eighth of an inch around every part of the body, even around each individual strand of hair. In other people it may extend for some inches, but not often more than 6 inches. The etheric can be used to measure the vitality of a person. It changes considerably in intensity with the health. If a person has done a hard day's work, then the etheric will be very close to the skin, but after a good rest it will extend perhaps for inches. It follows the exact contours of the body, it even follows the contours of a mole or a pimple. In connection with the etheric, it might be of interest to state that if one is subjected to a very very high tension of electricity at negligible amperage, then the etheric can be seen glowing, sometimes pink, sometimes blue. There is a weather condition also which increases the visibility of the etheric. It is met with at sea and is known as St. Elmer's fire. Under certain weather conditions every part of a ship's masts and rigging become outlined in cold fire. It is quite harmless but rather frightening for those who see it for the first time. One can liken this to the etheric of a ship. Figure 3, the etheric, 15. Many people in the country have had the experience of going out into the countryside on a dark or misty night and have looked at the high tension wires stretching overhead. Under suitable conditions they will have noticed a misty whitish bluish glow. It looks rather eerie, and has given many an honest countryman a severe fright. Electrical engineers know this as the corona of high tension wires, and it is one of the difficulties with which they are confronted, because a corona sweeping down over insulators can ionize the air so that there is a short circuit, and that may trip relays in power stations and put a whole countryside into darkness. In these more modern days engineers take very special and very costly precautions in order to minimize or eliminate the corona. The corona of a human body, of course, is the etheric, and it looks something the same as the discharge from high tension wires. Most people can see the etheric of the body if they will practice a little, if they will have patience. Unfortunately, people think that there is some quick and cheap way to the attainment of knowledge and powers which take the master's years. Nothing can be done without practice. Great musicians practice for hours every day, they never cease to practice. So you, if you want to be able to see the etheric and the aura, you must practice also. One way is to get a willing subject and get that person to extend a bare arm. Have the fingers outspread. The arm and fingers should be a few inches away from some neutral or black background. Look towards the arm and the fingers, not directly at it, but towards it. There is just a little knack in looking at the right place in the right way. As you look, you will see clinging closely to the flesh something that looks like a bluish-grayish smoke. As we said, it extends perhaps an eighth of an inch, perhaps 6 inches from the body. Quite often a person will look toward the arm and see nothing but the arm. That may be because they are trying too hard, it may be because they cannot see the wood for the trees. Let yourself become relaxed. Do not try too hard, and with practice you will see that there really is something there. Another way is to practice on yourself. Sit down and make yourself quite comfortable. Place yourself so that you are at least 6 feet from any other object, be a chair, table, or wall. Breathe steadily, deeply, and slowly. Extend your arms to full length. Place your fingertips, 16, together with your thumbs upwards so that just your fingertips are in contact. Then, if you part your fingers so that they are about an eighth of an inch, a quarter of an inch, apart, you will perceive something. It may look like a gray mist, it may look as if it is almost luminous, but when you see that, then very very slowly draw your fingers further apart, a quarter of an inch at a time, you will soon see that there is something there. That something is the etheric. If you should lose contact, that is, if the faint something should vanish, then touch your fingertips together and start all over again. It is just a matter of practice. Once again, the great musicians of this world practice, and practice, and practice, they produce good music after their practice. You can produce good results in metaphysical sciences. But look again at your fingers. Watch carefully the faint mist flowing from one to the other. With practice you will observe that it flows from either the left hand to the right hand, or from the right hand to the left hand, depending not merely upon your sex, but upon your state of health and what you are thinking at the time. If you can get an interested person to help you, then you can practice with the palm of your hand. You should get this person, if possible a member of the opposite sex, to sit in a chair facing you. You should both extend your hands, your arms, at full length. Then slowly bring your hand palm down close to that of your friend who sits palm up. When you are about 2 inches apart, you may find either a cool breeze or a warm breeze flowing from one hand to the other. The sensation starts in the middle of the palm. It depends on which hand it is and which sex you are whether you feel a cold breeze or a warm breeze. If you feel a warm breeze, move your hand slightly so that your hand is not directly in line fingers to fingers, but at an angle, and you may find that the sensation of heat increases. The heat increases as you practice. When you get to this stage, if you look carefully between your palm and that of the other person, you will see very distinctly the etheric. It is like cigarette smoke which has not been inhaled, that is, instead of the dirty gray of inhaled cigarette smoke, it will be a fresh bluish tinge. We have to keep on repeating that the etheric is merely the outer manifestation of the magnetic forces of the body. We call it the ghost because when a person dies in good health, this etheric charge remains, 17, for a time. It may become detached from the body and wander like a mindless ghost, which is a thing completely and utterly different from the astral entity. We shall deal with all that at a later date. But you may have heard of old graveyards in the country, where there are no street lamps, etc. Many people say that they can see a faint bluish light on dark nights rising up from the ground of a grave which has only that day been made. That is actually the etheric charge dissipating away from a newly dead body. You can say that it is similar to the heat departing from a kettle which has been boiling and has then been switched off. As the kettle gets cooler, the feeling of heat from the outer side obviously becomes less. In the same way, as a body dies, there are relative stages of death, remember. The etheric force gets lower and lower. You can have an etheric hanging around a body for several days after clinical life has departed, but that will form the subject of a separate lesson. Practice, and practice, and practice. Look at your hands, look at your body, try these experiments with a willing friend, because only by practice can you see the etheric, and until you can see the etheric, then you cannot see the aura, which is a much finer thing. Lesson 4. As we saw in the preceding lesson, the body is surrounded by the etheric, which encompasses every part of that body. But extending outside the etheric is the aura. This is in some ways similar to the etheric in that it is of magnetic electric origin. But there the similarity ends. One can state that the aura shows the colors of the overself. It shows whether a person is spiritual or carnal. It shows also if a person is of good health, or poor health, or is actually diseased. Everything is reflected in the aura. It is the indicator of the overself, or, if you prefer, of the soul. The overself and the soul, of course, are the same thing. In this aura we can see sickness and health, dejection and success, love and hatred. It is perhaps fortunate that not so many people can see the auras at the present time, for nowadays it seems to be the common thing to take advantage of one, to seek the upper hand, and, 18, the aura betrays every thought as it should do, reflecting as it does the colors and the vibrations of the over-self. It is a fact that when a person is desperately ill, the aura begins to fade, and in certain cases the aura actually fades out before a person dies. If a person has had a long illness, then the aura does actually fade out before death, leaving only the etheric. On the other hand, a person who is killed accidentally while in good health possesses the aura up to, and for some moments after, clinical death. It might be well here to interpose certain remarks about death, because death is not like switching off a current or emptying a bucket. Death is a rather long drawn-out affair. No matter how a person dies, no matter if a person is beheaded even, death does not take place for some moments after. The brain, as we have seen, is a storage cell generating electric current. The blood supplies the chemicals, the moisture and the metallic ores, and inevitably those ingredients become stored in the tissue of the brain. Thus the brain can continue to function for from 3 to 5 minutes after clinical death. It is said by some people that this or that form of execution is instantaneous, but that, of course, is ridiculous. As we have stated, even if the head be completely severed from the body, the brain can still function for from 3 to 5 minutes. There is a case which was actually witnessed and carefully chronicled in the days of the French Revolution. A so-called traitor had been beheaded, and the executioner reached down and lifted up the head by the hair, saying as he did so, "This is the head of a traitor." People in the audience, executions in those days were public and also a public holiday, were alarmed when the lips formed the soundless words, "That is a lie." That can actually be seen in the records of the French government. Any doctor or surgeon will tell you that if the blood supply be interrupted, the brain becomes impaired after 3 minutes. That is why if a heart stops, there are such frantic efforts to start the flow of the blood again. We have digressed here to show that death is not instantaneous, nor is the fading of the aura. It is medical fact, by the way, known to coroners and pathologists that the body dies at various rates, the brain dies, and then organs die one by one. About the last to die are the hair and the nails. 19. As the body does not die instantly, traces of the aura may linger on. Thus it is that a person who is clairvoyant can see in the aura of a dead person why that person expired. The etheric is of a different nature from the aura, and the etheric may continue for some time as a detached phantom, especially if a person has died violently, suddenly. A person in good health who meets a violent end has his batteries fully charged, and so the etheric is at full strength. With the death of the body, the etheric becomes detached and floats away. By magnetic attraction it will undoubtedly visit its former haunts, and if a clairvoyant person is about or a person who is highly excited, that is has his vibrations increased, then that person will be able to see the etheric and will exclaim, "Oh, the ghost of so-and-so." The aura is of much finer material than the comparatively crude etheric. The aura, in fact, is as much finer to the etheric as the etheric is to the physical body. The etheric flows over the body like a complete covering following the contours of the body. But the aura extends to form an egg-shaped shell around the body, figure 4. It might be, for instance, 7 feet or more in height, and about 4 feet in width at its broadest part. It tapers down so that the narrow end of the egg is at the bottom, that is, where the feet are. The aura consists of the radiations in brilliant color from the various centers of the body to other centers of the body. The old Chinese used to say that one picture is worth 1,000 words. So, to save a few thousand words, we will insert here in this lesson a sketch of a person standing full face and side view, and on these sketches we will indicate the lines of force of the aura to and from the various centers, and the general outline of the egg shape. 20. Figure 4. Main lines of aura. We must make it clear also that the aura really does exist even if you cannot see it for the moment. As you will appreciate, you cannot see the air which you breathe, and we doubt if a fish can see the water in which it swims. The aura, then, is a real vital force. It exists even though most untrained people cannot see it. It is possible to see an aura by using various equipment. There are, for example, various types of goggles which can be used over the eyes, But all the information which we have been able to gather on the subject indicates that these goggles are extremely injurious to the sight. They tried the eyes, they forced the eyes to act in an unnatural manner, and we cannot recommend for one moment goggles purporting to enable one to see the aura, nor those various screens consisting of two sheets of glass with a watertight space between which one fills with a special and usually highly expensive dye. We can only suggest that you practice, and then with a little faith and a little help you should be able to see. The biggest difficulty in seeing the aura is that most people do not believe that they can see it. 21. The aura, as we have stated, is of various colors, but we would point out that what we refer to as colors is merely a special part of the spectrum. In other words, although we use the word color, we could just as well quote the frequency of that wave which we call red or blue. Red, by the way, is one of the easiest colors to see. Blue is not so easy. There are some people who cannot see blue, there are others who cannot see red. If you are in the presence of a person who can see the aura, by the way, be careful not to say something which is untrue, because if you do tell an untruth, the aura seer will betray you. Normally a person has a halo which is either a bluish or a yellowish color. If a lie is told, then a greenish yellow shoots through the halo. It is a difficult color to explain, but once seen the color is never forgotten. So, to tell a lie is to betray oneself immediately by the greenish yellow flare which shoots through the halo which is at the top of the aura. One can say that the aura extends basically up to the eyes, and then you get a radiant layer of yellow or blue which is the halo or nimbus. Then, at the very topmost part of the aura, you get a sort of fountain of light which in the East is known as the flowering lotus, because it does actually look like that. It is an interchange of colors, and to the imaginative it reminds one irresistibly of the opening of the seven-petaled lotus. The greater one's spirituality, the more saffron yellow is the nimbus or halo. If a person has dubious thoughts, then that particular portion of the aura turns an unpleasant muddy brown, fringed by this bile-colored yellowish-green which betokens falsehoods. We are of the belief that more people see auras than seems apparent. We believe that many people see or sense the aura and do not know what they are seeing. It is quite a common thing for a person to say that she must have this or that color, she cannot wear such and such a color, because instinctively she thinks that it would clash with her aura. You may have noticed a person who wears clothing which is quite utterly impossible according to your own estimation. You may not see the aura, but you, being possibly more perceptive than your unsuitably clad friend, will know that such colors clash completely with her aura. Many people, then, sense, experience, or are aware of the human aura, but because from early childhood they have been, 22, taught that it is nonsense to see this, or nonsense to see that, they have hypnotized themselves into believing that they could not possibly see such a thing. It is also a fact that one can influence one's health by wearing clothing of certain colors. If you wear a color which clashes with your aura, then you will undoubtedly be ill at ease or self-conscious, you may even be indisposed until you take that unsuitable color off. You may find that a particular color in a room irritates you or soothes you. Colors, after all, are merely different names for vibrations. Red is one vibration, green is another vibration, and black is yet another. Just as the vibration which we call sound can clash and make disharmony, so can soundless vibrations which we call colors clash and make a spiritual disharmony. Lesson 5. The colors of the aura. Every musical note is a combination of harmonic vibrations which depends upon being compatible with its neighbors. Any lack of compatibility causes a sour note, a note which is not pleasant to hear. Musicians strive to produce only notes which please. As in music, so in colors, for colors also are vibrations, although they are on a slightly different part of the human perception spectrum. One can have pure colors, colors which please and uplift one. Or one can have colors which jar, which jangle the nerves. In the human aura there are many different colors and shades of colors. Some of them are beyond the range of vision of the untrained observer, and so, for those colors we have no universally accepted name. There is, as you know, a silent dog whistle. That is, It resonates on a band of vibrations which human ears cannot hear but which a dog can. At the other end of the scale, a human can hear deeper sounds than can a dog. Low sounds are inaudible to dogs. Suppose we move the range of human hearing up, then we should hear as a dog does and would hear the high notes of the dog whistle. So, if we can raise or shift our sight, 23, range up, we shall be able to see the human aura. Unless we do it carefully, though, we shall then lose the ability to see black or deep purple. It would be unreasonable to list innumerable colors. Let us deal with only the most common, the strongest, colors. The basic colors change according to the progress of the person in whose aura they are seen. As the person improves in spirituality, so the color improves. If a person is unfortunate enough to slip back on the ladder of progress, then his basic colors may alter completely or change in shade. The basic colors, which we mentioned below, show the basic person. The innumerable pastel shades indicate the thoughts and intentions as well as the degree of spirituality. The aura swirls and flows like a particularly intricate rainbow. Colors race round the body in increasing spirals, and also pour down from the head to the feet. But these colors are many more than ever appeared in a rainbow. A rainbow is merely refraction from water crystals, simple things. The aura is life itself. Here are some notes on a very few colors, very few because there is no point in dealing with others until you can see these listed. Red. In its good form, red indicates sound driving force. Good generals and leaders of men have a lot of clear red in their aura. A particularly clear form of red with clear yellow edges indicates a person who is a crusader, one who is always striving to help others. Do not confuse this with the ordinary meddler, his red would be brown. Clear red bands or flashes emanating from the site of an organ indicates that the organ is in very good health. Some of the world leaders have a lot of clear red in their makeup. Unfortunately, in too many instances, it is contaminated with debasing shades. A bad red, one that is muddy or too dark, indicates bad or vicious temper. The person is unreliable, quarrelsome, treacherous, a self-seeker at the expense of others. Dull reds invariably show nervous excitation. A person with bad red may be physically strong. Unfortunately, he will also be strong at wrongdoing. Murderers always have degraded red in their auras. The lighter the red, lighter, not clearer, the more nervous and unstable the person. Such a person is very active, jittery even, and cannot keep still for more than a few, 24, seconds at a time. Of course, such a person is very self-centered indeed. Reds around the organs indicate their state. A dull red, brownish red even, slowly pulsing over the site of an organ indicates cancer. One can tell if the cancer is the roar if it is incipient. The aura indicates what illnesses are going to afflict the body later, unless curative steps are taken. This is going to be one of the greatest uses of aura therapy in later years. A speckled, flashing red from the jaws indicates toothache. A dull brown pulsing in time from the nimbus indicates fright at the thought of a visit to a dentist. Scarlet is usually worn by those who are too sure of themselves. It indicates that a person is altogether too fond of himself. It is the color of false pride, pride without a foundation. But, scarlet also shows most clearly around the hips of those ladies who sell love for coins of the realm. They are indeed scarlet women. Such women are usually not at all interested in the sex act as such. To them it is merely a means of earning a living. So, the over-conceited person and the prostitute share the same colors in the aura. It is worth a thought that these old sayings, such as scarlet woman, blue mood, red rage, black with temper and green with envy, do indeed accurately indicate the aura of a person afflicted with such a mood. The people who originated such sayings obviously consciously or unconsciously saw the aura. Still on with the red group, pink, it is more of a coral, really, shows immaturity. Teenagers show pink instead of any other red. In the case of an adult, pink is an indicator of childishness and insecurity. A red-brown, something like raw liver, indicates a very nasty person indeed. One who should be avoided, for he will bring trouble. When seen over an organ, it shows that the organ is very diseased indeed, and the person who has such a color over a vital organ will soon die. All people with red showing at the end of the breastbone, end of the sternum, have nerve trouble. They should learn to control their activities and live more sedately if they want to live long and happily. Orange. Orange is really a branch of red, but we are paying it the compliment of giving it a classification of its own because some religions of the Far East choose to regard orange as the color of the sun, 25, and paid homage to it. That is why there are so many orange colors in the Far East. On the other hand, just to show the two sides of the coin, yet other religions held the belief that blue was the color of the sun. It does not matter to which opinion you subscribe, orange is basically a good color, and people with a suitable shade of orange in their aura are those who show much consideration for other people. They are humanitarians, people who do their best to help others not so fortunately endowed. A yellow orange is to be desired because it shows self-control, and has many virtues. Brownish orange indicates a repressed lazy person who couldn't care less. A brownish orange also indicates kidney trouble. If it is located over the kidneys and has a jagged gray blur in it, it shows the presence of kidney stones. An orange which is tinged with green indicates a person who loves to quarrel just for the sake of quarreling, and when you progress to the point when you can see the shades within the colors, then be wise and avoid arguing with those who have a green amid the orange because they can see only black and white. They lack imagination, they lack the perception and the discernment to realize that there are shades of knowledge, shades of opinion, and shades of color. The person afflicted with a greenish orange argues endlessly just for the sake of argument and without really caring whether his arguments are right or wrong. To such people the argument is the thing. Yellow. A golden yellow indicates that its possessor is of a very spiritual nature. All the great saints have golden halos around their heads. The greater the spirituality, the brighter glowed the golden yellow. To digress, let us state here that those of the very highest spirituality also have indigo, but we are dealing with yellow. Those who have a yellow in the aura always are in good spiritual and moral health. They are well upon the path, and according to the exact shade of yellow, they have little of which to be afraid. A person with a bright yellow in the aura can be completely trusted. A person with a degraded yellow, the color of bad cheddar cheese, is of a cowardly nature, and that is why people say, "Oh, he is yellow." It used to be far more common that 1:26 could see the aura, and presumably most of these sayings came into the different languages at that time. But a bad yellow shows a bad person, one who is really frightened of everything. A reddish yellow is not at all favorable because it indicates mental, moral and physical timidity, and with it absolute weakness of spiritual outlook and conviction. People with a reddish yellow will change from one religion to another, always seeking for something which is not obtainable in 5 minutes. They lack staying power, they cannot stick at a thing for more than a few moments. A person who is a red yellow and brown red in the aura is always chasing after the opposite sex, and getting nowhere. It is noteworthy that if a person has red hair, or ginger, and has red yellow in the aura, that person will be very pugnacious, very offensive, and very ready to misconstrue any remark into a personal slight. This refers particularly to those who have red hair and reddish, perhaps freckled, skin. Some of the redder yellows indicate that the person possessing these shades has a great inferiority complex. The redder the red in the yellow, the greater the degree of inferiority. A brownish yellow shows very impure thoughts indeed and poor spiritual development. Presumably most people know about Skid Row, the veil to which all drunks, deadbeats, and derelicts eventually drift on this earth. Many of the people in that class, or condition, have this red-brown-yellow, and if they are particularly bad they have an unpleasant form of lime green speckling the aura. These people can rarely be saved from their own folly. A brownish-yellow indicates impure thoughts and that the person concerned does not always keep to the straight and narrow path. In the health line a green-yellow shows liver complaints. As the greenish-yellow turns to brownish-reddish-yellow it shows that the complaints are more in the nature of social diseases. A person with a social disease invariably has a dark brown, dark yellow band around the hips. It is often speckled with what looks to be red dust.